This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
And once again, thanks for joining us here today on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. Today, once again, we have the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Nikki Martinez, who has been working as an independent medical expert to assist the courts for the past decade. Dr. Martinez has been an adjunct professor for nearly 14 years, engaging in domestic and international consulting for various individuals, groups, and organizations, as well as continues to see a small caseload of individual and couples clients through telemental health services. Her large catalog of articles from the Huffington Post and EverydayPower.com can be seen in the show notes from her work as a contributor for both publications. And today's topic is, how do people with less stress differ from those with more? And certainly should be an interesting conversation. And Dr. Martinez, thanks again for joining us here today.
Thanks for having me. Great to be back.
Hey, you're more than welcome. Always appreciate your time and your visits with us on the program. Just to get right into things here, you note that there are important differences between people who struggle with stress and those who do not. Speak a little bit about the struggles of individuals with too much stress.
Yes, there are some key differences between them that they pretty much as a group typically display, and they display on a regular basis. And some of these commonalities are an inability to relax. They have a chronic urgency that they need to be doing something, even if that's worrying about things, that there are things that need to be finished, that they're worrying about the future. They have a habit of overextending themselves. People with chronic stress tend to overextend and overpromise. They have trouble saying no. They put too much on their plate. They struggle with disorganization and motivation. They often procrastinate and put things off to the last second. They have trouble with prioritizing and organizing themselves, and they find this difficult compared to those who handle high stress in a better way. And then lastly, they have trouble sleeping often at night. Their mind races. They are the type of person that lays in bed for hours worrying about the millions of anxieties, both in the present and years down the line, all that 99% of things that are never going to happen. And they struggle to stop thinking about the future worries, and this can have a significant impact on their sleep.
That is for sure on that. With a lot of stress comes lack of sleep, no doubt about that. Now, what are some of the additional downsides of stress?
They often make a daily or a weekly to-do list that's not possible. So not only do they overschedule, they overplan and they overcommit. And then they get upset with themselves that they've fallen behind, when really what they started with was an unrealistic expectation of themselves, and they were never really going to be able to get this done in the first place. They feel guilty if they allow themselves time for personal care and relaxation. They feel like they should be using that time in a productive way, yet they don't prioritize personal care of equal importance. They struggle with delays, changes in schedule, and last-minute tasks. It's a struggle for them to prioritize or figure out how to rework their day with new tasks. And you and I both know that if you actually make a to-do list for the day, that list is out the window in the first 30 minutes. But they have a lot of trouble adapting. They do more work than is required. They live with the fear that they are not good at what they do, and so this causes them constant worry that they could lose their job. They're competitive with others, and they need reassurance. So they need to feel like they are the best at their job, or even at their hobby. So they need people to give them positive feedback and reassurance about that they're doing well all the time. And then lastly, they're irritable when things change. So tying back to those changes in schedules or their to-do list. So their irritability increases when they're up against a deadline. So when something unplanned happens, or when they're not living up to their personal expectations, not any that anybody else has set for them, they feel even worse. So of course, people with less stress can fall under some of these categories and characteristics as well, but they won't have them to the degree that these individuals will, and they can often adapt to these changes.
Now, Dr. Martinez, taking that even further, can you discuss some of the common characteristics of individuals who have less stress?
Yes. People with less stress, they found healthier ways to cope with a lot of the areas that we've just touched on. So they would look more like this. These individuals are flexible to change and to schedule adjustments and the changing deadlines. So sort of what we touched on earlier, when their schedule for the day is just tossed up in the air after the first 30 minutes, they can quickly reprioritize without letting it get them frazzled. So they can look at that list that they have and they can say, what are actually the, out of these 10 things, what are the three things that have to get done and are realistic that I can get done today? And they're able to push the other things aside and realize that and sort of have that punch list. They believe in continuously improving themselves and they're open to feedback. So they believe constructive criticism actually helps them learn and grow, which often people who are high stress, it feels like a personal attack and it's the end of the world to them. They have a high level of resilience. So they can survive and bounce back from personal struggles and disappointments in an appropriate way. And people like this do not spend an unhealthy amount of time focusing on and perseverating on negative events. They have a gift for setting healthy and clear boundaries with other people. So they do know how to say no. And when you tell someone that they need space from them, they feel strongly and settled about it. People who have learned healthy ways to deal with stress put themselves first and are comfortable drawing that line. And they also live a life with integrity. They have strong beliefs and they're not afraid to act upon them. So these people often are the ones that we see volunteering, advocating for causes, and they'll provide educated facts to support their point of view. So there are people that like to show both their beliefs and their point of view through action and not just words. They walk their talk.
Really interesting information shared here today, looking at the differences between those with less stress and more. No doubt there, we've been speaking with Dr. Nikki Martinez, who has been working as an independent medical expert to assist the courts for the past decade and has also been an adjunct professor for nearly 14 years, engaging in domestic and international consulting for various individuals, groups, and organizations, and offers individual and couples consulting via telemental health services here on eHealth Radio's Health News and Stress Management channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, another question for you. Why does goal setting give many people anxiety? And we're approaching the new year, so talk to us about that.
I think people are going to find this fascinating. When we're planning, this answer actually comes down to simple science, and the solution lies in the way in which we go about working towards our goals. Changes in our lives, good or bad, are stressful, and I'm sure you've experienced that like I have. Even when we're looking forward to something, we still feel stress and anxiety. So if we're good or bad changes, if we're moving, if we're starting a new job, if we're starting a new relationship, we have stress because there's so many unknowns, even if it's something we're looking forward to. When we're moving towards this thing, we want to set small little goals. Taking an apartment versus buying a new home, for example, both these goals are going to produce different levels of anxiety due to the pressure and responsibility they put in that we're taking on. But there's so many things that we're going to do with our lives and the steps we have to take to get to them. But here's where the anxiety comes in with goals that we set. Our brain can't tell the difference between the things that we want and the things we already have. So if we don't achieve a goal that we've set out to do, and by achieve, I mean that it's come to its conclusion, our brain tells us that we have failed. So our mind does not understand that we either merely want something or that we are working towards it. It tells us just that we have not accomplished that goal. So we're living in this consistent state of flux and anxiety. But when we set goals, we are able, these small manageable steps and these small manageable goals that I just touched on a minute ago, we are able to start to sort of trick our mind that is wired to tell us that we failed in it, that we are accomplishing our goals, which we are along the way. But unless we do that, we are in this constant anxiety state. So while it might seem to others that it's no big deal to sit down and do things like an annual goals list and map things out, we are actually creating constantly a state of anxiety that we're working towards or feeling like we're failing unless we break down those goals into small steps. Then we feel like we are in this constant state of flux and failure. But also, if we break down those goals that we're setting into these small and manageable steps, then having this constant feeling of success and victory and building our self-esteem is something that we can constantly be achieving throughout the year as well.
Great points made right there. Good stuff. And lastly, how can people better learn to manage the anxiety that comes with setting goals?
There's many paths that people could take, but some of the best ways are we can learn about stress reduction and relaxation exercises. We can learn to ground ourselves in reality in the moment and realize that we are working toward and to something that we have not achieved yet, which helps remove stress and take some of the weight off of us. We can develop those small and manageable steps that I was just talking about, moving towards our goals, and we can develop organizational systems that keep us on track and monitoring that progress. People often are do best when they can visually see progress that they're making versus it being this sort of theoretical goal that just seems overwhelming, empty, and hollow that they can't visualize. We need to learn to identify the source of our anxiety when we feel it building up. People are actually quite insightful at this, more so than we may think. I can, in all the years that I've worked, I can count on one hand the individuals that have said to me, I have no idea what's causing my anxiety. People have some clue about a precipitating event or feeling or something that was going on if they actually sit and think about it, what happened prior to it, what they were thinking about an event. And once they're able to identify what is actually making them anxious, at this point, they can step back, identify what's up there, miss, and fill in those gaps. And with this newfound awareness, they can move towards goals that can help keep them calm. And they can then deal with that with their new coping skills.
Certainly timely information for sure, as we're approaching, once again, as I had mentioned earlier, a new year just around the corner. Where can listeners tap into your resources, services, and also get more information on yourself?
They can reach me at drnikkimartinez.com. That's drnikkimartinez.com. They can find me also at LinkedIn. That's the LinkedIn page, nikki-martinez. And over the next couple interviews, I'm going to be excited to also be announcing a new site that's going to be launched that I'm going to be a part of. Is an author called ResilientStories.com. It should be going live this week, and so I'll be sharing more with listeners about that.
And I'm sure there's excitement around the launch of that website. Yet another great resource. Again, Dr. Martinez, all the best, and look forward to our next conversation right here on the Health Radio. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Again, we've been speaking with Dr. Nikki Martinez, who has been working as an independent medical expert to assist the courts for the past decade and has also been an adjunct professor for nearly 14 years, engaging in domestic and international consulting for various individuals, groups, and organizations, and offers individual and couples consulting via telemental health services. And for all the details, simply visit drnikkimartinez.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.